One of my favorite stories is found in Luke, the second chapter, and it starts at verse 8. And it's the story of the shepherds. And it goes something like this. In those days, there were shepherds nearby in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord came to them and stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were very afraid. But the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And suddenly, there was around them a heavenly host singing and praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth good peace toward all men." And then the scene changed again. The angels left and the shepherds looked at one another and they said, "We should go into Bethlehem and see these things that the Lord has made known to us." And then Scripture records that they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And after they had worshipped him, they went around sharing the news to all the people. There's a little passage there that says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. But the people were astonished at what the shepherds were telling them. And then the shepherds returned to their flocks, praising God and thanking him for all the things that they had seen and heard, and that it had confirmed what they had been told. Now, this is the story of the shepherds. This is the story that we're familiar with. This is the story that we have a certain approach to during this Christmas season. But I wonder if there was more going on than we even possibly expected. Tonight I want you to consider some thoughts and some things that we've been digging into about the shepherds. Could it be that this narrative has more to it than perhaps what we've ever considered? Could it be that this narrative reflects more of God's detailed design and fulfillment of ancient prophecies than maybe we've even considered? So tonight, I want to invite you into a journey with me as we look at the story of the shepherds. In order to do that, we need to turn back to Micah, the fourth chapter and verse 8. And there's a verse of scripture that scholars have interpreted in different ways, but I'd like to read it for you. And it says, "As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you, and kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem." Now, some of the thoughts that I'll share with you tonight, scholars may disagree, but I want to present them as an opportunity for us to connect in a deeper way to this narrative about the shepherds. So the first thing that stands out is the tower of the flock. And that in Hebrew is Migdal Eder. And there's some scholars interpret this prophecy, Micah 4:8, that this would be where the Messiah would be revealed from. And this Migdal Eder is connected to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. We see this show up in Genesis, the 35th chapter, in verse 21. This is where Jacob actually laid his wife Rachel to rest. And so it connects the tower to the town of Bethlehem. So why is this tower so important? Well, in those days, shepherds would often create these structures that would be rough and cave-like, but they would have an elevated position that would be like a tower for which they could look over their flocks. In the historical context, in the Mishnah, and Talmud. These are both recordings of oral Hebrew tradition, and it's also the Talmud is the primary source of Jewish law and theology. There's writings in there that indicate that the flocks that camped or were gathered around Jerusalem as far as Migdal Eder were dedicated to the sacrificial system of the temple. So between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, there is this place where flocks were housed or gathered to supply the temple for sacrifice. In Micah, the fifth chapter, and in verse 2, Micah the prophet tells us that the Messiah will come from Bethlehem. And prominent Jewish writers have concluded that Migdal Eder would be where the Messiah would be declared. So as we dive into Luke's gospel, we see this connection. Now, Luke, one thing you need to understand about Luke is Luke's writings were very specific. They also had a grander perspective as far as how Scripture impacts humanity. But it was also the language was really specific. So if we look at verse 8, Luke says that there were in the fields nearby shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. Where is nearby? Well, he tells us earlier that it's in Bethlehem. So we already see some significance here. There were the area where shepherds were located was also the very same area whereby the flocks were kept for the temple sacrifice system. So we have here a prophecy containing a tower, the tower of the flock. We have a prophecy referring to the Messiah coming out of Bethlehem. We have historical records that communicate that the area around Bethlehem included flocks designated for the sacrificial system of the temple. So one has to wonder, were these shepherds really simple, unlearned men? Or was there more to these rugged individuals that cared for the most precious of treasures for the temple sacrifice? Some of the historical interpretations indicate that these shepherds would have known what the temple requirements were. That's why they were in the fields. It was lambing season. And so their job was to identify the firstborn male lamb that was born. They would also be the ones that would bring the lambs to the temple and identify them to the priest as the firstborn. And so they would be credited with announcing or proclaiming the firstborn lamb. So it's no wonder that the angels appeared to them first, even though shepherds were rough, ceremoniously unclean. They were considered kind of the outcast. But they were the ones that were present when the firstborn lamb was born, because they needed to be. And so another reason that they were in the fields was they needed to be present to identify the lambs as they were born. In verse 9, we see an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. So these individuals that were learned, they would understand the prophecies. They would have learned all down through history why they were doing what they were doing, why they were caring for the lambs, why they needed to identify the firstborn male. They would also be aware of the inability for human beings to stand in the presence of the glory of God without death. And when you look at the word terrified in its original meaning, it doesn't refer to fear like we understand it. It refers to this deep reverence and awe. And I'm sure there would be a little bit of fear. But considering that these shepherds were charged with the protection of the most treasured of animals for the sacrificial system of the temple, they would need to fight off robbers and raiders and wolves and whatever other dangers would come. It seems highly unlikely that just a bright light would frighten them. Well, in fact, Luke records that it is the glory of the Lord And perhaps it was this glory and this understanding of what the ramifications were of being in the presence of the Lord at that time. Perhaps that's what created the fear. But we know that the angel's disruption of that moment, that peaceful, just kind of regular night, was not about proclaiming fear. And it wasn't just a random declaration to shepherds. In fact, perhaps it was a prophetic sign to all of Israel that these men were now confronted with the reality of the eternal light to which their entire lives had been pointing toward all this time. The angels were actually declaring a new era of salvation. And these shepherds would have understood that. They would have understood that they were actually in the presence, in the moment of having prophecy fulfilled. Then as we move on, again, we see another indication of God's involvement. In verse 12, it says, the angel said to the shepherds, he says, this will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. Now, this narrative is not, you will see a sign unto you. The angel was saying to the shepherds, this is the way you'll find it. This is the sign that you have found the Messiah. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. So why is it that a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes would be a sign to the shepherds? Well, here's one possible explanation. When the ewes were ready to give birth to the lambs, the shepherds would bring them into this cave-like structure to protect them. And then once the firstborn male was born, for the short term, they would wrap them in strips of cloth to protect them. Because if any one blemish, one minor imperfection, that lamb was no longer qualified for the sacrificial system of the temple. So it's no wonder when the angels disappeared, the shepherds said to one another, let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. The reason why they did that is they knew exactly where to go. They knew exactly what they were looking for. They knew that swaddling cloths was what they used to identify a firstborn lamb. So finding the baby Jesus wrapped in these cloths would also identify to them that this is the Messiah, the beginning of the new covenant. The very caretakers of the message of redemption through the shedding of blood were the first to be the proclaimers of the new covenant of the world. The only thing they had left to do was to respond, and which they did. Scripture records again, Luke records for us that they went immediately into Bethlehem, and they went with haste. There was no hesitation here. Now, there's an important thing to note. The shepherds went into Bethlehem. Who was watching their flocks? If the shepherds had let anything happen to the flock, there was great consequences. So there was a sacrifice that they processed during that time. Later on, we see that Luke records that after they had come and seen the baby in the manger, Luke records that the shepherds went about spreading the news of what they've seen and heard. And he records that all who heard it were astonished. And I've often interpreted that they were astonished that they were being told these deep and revolutionary things from the outcasts of society. But I've come to believe that perhaps that's not the case. It wasn't that it was the shepherds communicating the information. It was that the people knew the shepherds were the keepers of the flock. They knew that the shepherds were the most credentialed people to identify who the firstborn lamb was. And their credentials about being able to identify the lamb and being in the moment to be present at the birth to say that this was the firstborn lamb. Now they were saying that they had been present at the firstborn lamb of God, a savior, a messiah, one who would redeem the world. This is the message that everyone was astonished at, because this was a radical disruption and change to the way that they experienced salvation. So here we are in this moment in time. It's another Christmas Eve, and all of us have been invited to experience this new covenant, and we're called to be credible witnesses to the transforming power and change that the birth of the Savior brought during that moment in time. We get to step into being the proclaimers of the new covenant message of a Savior who is born for us, the redemption of the world, just like the shepherds were. I want to land with a couple points this evening. All are welcome to experience this gift, regardless of your status or circumstance. So there's room at the manger for all of us. You see, this became intensely personal for the shepherds. They would have been taught from early age that they were the keepers of the old covenant. They provided the animals. They cared for the animals, for the sacrificial system of the temple. And now a new path toward reconciliation with God was being established. And they had a front and center row to this experience. And just as the shepherds arrived at the... Luke doesn't record that the shepherds changed their clothes, they washed up or anything like that. No. Luke records that they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. So literally, they arrived just as they are, or just as they were. We too are invited to come to acknowledge the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, just as we are. Experiencing the gift of Christmas will bring change and disruption. The whole story of the shepherds begins in the quiet, in the middle of the night, disrupted by an angel appearance, disrupted by leaving their flocks to go find Mary and Joseph. They witnessed in the stable a scene that would forever change their lives, for they had found him and they would never be the same. In fact, they went from there praising God and glorifying God for all the things that they had heard. In that moment in time, the shepherds seen the fulfillment of everything that they knew, learned, had proclaimed, had accomplished over the years. The scriptures came alive in the fulfillment in one baby. God, robed in flesh, has come among us. Finally, it made sense to them. Finally, the accumulation of all of their lives and all of their ministry and all of their care of the flock came to a point which was now implementing change. And the shepherds embraced an opportunity for change by embracing the disruption. They didn't have to leave their flocks. In fact, that would have been counterintuitive to them. But they did. And the news spread like wildfire that there was a Messiah, a Savior, born for us. So today, as we think about the story of the shepherds, can I invite you to come and to experience this baby, this one that has come to disrupt and forever change the outcome of a life burdened by sin? And it all Jesus asks us to do is to simply respond with faith and action, just like the shepherds. On this Christmas Eve, through these last few moments, my prayer is that you will be able to experience once again the wonder and the glory expressed through this story, confirmed in history, recorded in Scripture, and offered in love. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." May you truly discover the very presence of Emmanuel this Christmas season as God with us. It's redemption from our past and freedom for our future. That is a message truly worthy of celebrating this evening. Let's sing together.